friends, as our worship celebration continues this morning, please rise now as you are able for the reading of the Gospel according to John, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hear what the Spirit is saying. You may be seated.
Hallelujah. We invite you now to be seated. And if you hadn't noticed, we built into today's service a little stand-up, sit-down, fight. Just want to keep you moving. We know that over these days, sometimes we do a lot of sitting, so we want to make sure that we're keeping the blood flowing, keeping you on your toes. Again, right? Right? Okay. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. Let us pray. Oh God, what great grace has come among us in your beloved child, Jesus. A child who reflects you and shows us who we might be. We give you thanks for this beautiful story, for the ways in which you continue to be born in the world and even in our own lives. And as we pause for a moment to reflect on how to make your word, your light, your Christ flesh in the world, help us to open ourselves to receive the word anew. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. So today we gather, as we know, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the very word made flesh, as John poetically writes in our gospel for today. And I must say that it seems a bit superfluous to spend too much time on words today. After all, the story is about the Word made flesh, not about the Word made more words. And so I'm just going to tell a story today about one person who shows us how to truly celebrate Jesus' birth. Someone who knows how to make the Word fleshly, to embody the Word. And who might this person be? What do you think, Chloe? Who do you think it is? James? Any ideas? I'm thinking Santa Claus. No, I'm serious. No, really. Santa Claus. I love Santa Claus. I admit it unabashedly. One of my favorite memories as a child, and even as a teenager, I confess, when I tried to act cooler than I really was, I still loved it. One of my favorite childhood memories was listening to my mother read that wonderful poem on the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. I can still hear the inflection in every part of the poem. And I have to admit, too, that I was uncertain about what a kerchief was, or sugar plums. I mean, what is a sugar plum? Mr. Plum, seriously. But even still, I got the point. The story was about Santa. And Santa is magical and jolly and altogether wondrous and good. Another favorite Christmas memory, all through my growing up years, is of my grandfather, the one that we called Pa, reading aloud the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2. This story, too, is wondrous and filled with a warmth and a love that even as a child, I got. Even if I couldn't understand all the details, I got the point. The story is about a good God and about God's love for me. It's about God being with me and with the world in an intimate and close and new way. Throughout my life, these two stories, Santa and Jesus, have lived together in harmony. Two narratives of a magical time of year. I suspect this is true for many of us. However, I understand the concerns of some that the Santa story sometimes seems to overshadow the God story, the Jesus story. Certainly the business interests, so powerful in our day, count on our devotion to the man in the red suit for healthy year-end profits. And even I, a great devotee of Santa, worry sometimes that Jesus gets eclipsed by the glitz and the glitter and the excess that has become dominant for so many at this time of year. But in order to remain faithful as Christians, it is not necessary to shun Santa Claus. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Now there's a reason why I can say that with some confidence. Many of you may know, and I hope many of you do know, that the name Santa Claus comes from the Dutch nickname for a Christian saint, Saint Nicholas. The Dutch name was Sinterklaas, a shortened version of Sinter Nicholas. And Saint Nicholas was a Christian bishop. Hi, Bishop. Saint Nicholas was a Christian bishop who served back in the 4th century in a seaside town in Turkey called Demre. After his death, Nicholas became a patron saint of sailors. And you know what they're like. Barrel makers, small children, and Russians. Sinterklaas, or Saint Nicholas, attempted to follow the Christ child by serving others in whatever way he could. He was born to wealthy parents and was in line to enjoy the glory of earthly prosperity and achievement. But he heard the challenge of Jesus to sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor. So he used his whole inheritance to assist the needy, the sick, and the suffering. He was made a bishop of the church while still a young man and became known for his love of children and for his generosity to those in need. On three different occasions, he gave bags of gold to poor girls needing dowries, and by doing so, saved them from slavery. He became well known for his goodness, his compassion, and his generosity, and was famous for doing whatever he could to protect people who were in danger, especially children and sailors. He did many of these things in secret. The truth being told only by those who'd been recipients of his kindness. This is who Saint Nick is. This is who Santa Claus is. One who offers gifts of love and generosity, bringing joy and hope into the world. The witness of St. Nicholas is that the glory of God that John writes about, the glory spoken about by the angels in Luke, was not the glory we speak about so crassly these days, the glory of winning, glorious accomplishments, vacations, dream homes. Rather, Nicholas knew that the greatest honor, praise, and distinction of all time goes to a child who will never achieve material prosperity, a life of leisure, or any of the marks of worldly achievement. Instead, Jesus is given glory because he bears perfect love into the world, a love that leads him to serve and to give himself fully, even when all in the world rejected him. Sinter Klaas lived his life as a servant of that Christ, in the image of that Christ. And because of his love and servant leadership, he is revered through the ages. On this day when Christian and secular worlds overlap, we would do well to remember who Santa Claus really is, and that we can follow his example. We're invited to participate in the real glory of God, which is service, generosity, and love. We don't have to give up Santa. We just have to live like him, and not just on this day, but every day, and all throughout the year. By the grace of God, we will do it. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas.